Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Zacharias has been serving as priest. He was chosen by lot to burn incense at the altar. And while he was serving as priest and burning incense, an angel appeared to him and announced to him that his petition or prayer had been heard, and that Elizabeth, his wife, was going to bear a son, that he would be John, the forerunner to Messiah. Zacharias's response was, "According to what shall I know this?" That's very important. He's asking for a sign. The angel told him that he would be mute and unable to speak until these things should take place, and that they will take place, and then he would be free from being mute. We saw last week, God fulfills his word, but we dictate to God how he must deal with us to line up with his word. What a beautiful text for today as an illustration of that. Reading at verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God unto a city of Galilee, to which was the name Nazareth, to a virgin having been engaged to a man to whom was the name Joseph, from out of the house of David. And the name of the virgin was Mariam." Mariam, that's the formal name that's in the Textus Receptus or King James text, Mariam. Some of the older manuscripts have Maria for Mary. Same person. "And when the angel entered, he said to her, 'Greetings, one having been highly favored.'" Perfect tense verb, showing that it's been a process of her whole life that God's favor or grace has been upon her. "The Lord is with you, having blessed you among women." That last little phrase, "having blessed," that is a perfect participle. "The Lord is with you, having blessed you among women." And the phrase, "having blessed you among women," is only in the Textus Receptus. It is not in the older manuscripts. But as we'll see next week as we get into the discourse between Mary and Elizabeth, she will declare and be declared as blessed amongst women. Now, when the virgin saw him, she was terrified over his word, and was reasoning as to what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Miriam, for you have found favor," literally the word from grace, "from God. And behold, you'll conceive in the womb, you shall give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. This one will be great, and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of David his father, and he will reign or rule over the house of Jacob unto the ages," which is the Greek phrase for the term forever. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Miriam said to the angel, "How will this be, since I do not know a man?" And when the angel answered, he said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the highest shall overshadow you, on account of which, or for this reason also, the one being born from out of you, this Holy One, will be called Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative," it's the general term for relative, it's translated cousin in some English text, because Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, but it is the word relative. "Elizabeth, your relative, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, the one being called barren." So that was her nickname. They called her the barren one. Now check this out. Verses 37 and 38 are very important. "Because," in other words, she has conceived, you will conceive, and it's for this reason. "Because Not with every word. See the word thing in your English text. The English reads, nothing is impossible with God. The word nothing is the word word, rhema. Every word is not without ability or possibility from God. See how complicated that is as to why they've smoothed it out, but it's very important what the literal says. Every word is not without ability from God. And Miriam said, behold, the servant of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word, rhema. And the angel departed from her. Verses 26 and 27 give us the introduction to this particular section. It is now the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and Gabriel was sent by God to Mary. Verse 27 says that she is a virgin. So the dispute goes on as to what the word virgin means, because in technical points, the word virgin means young unmarried woman. A young unmarried woman. In those days, a young unmarried woman was a virgin. If not, she was under the law to be cast out. Now, what gives us the right to translate it specifically virgin is because in verse 34, Mary says, how will this be since I do not know a man? Well, if she does not know a man or never has known a man, she's a virgin. So however you want to look at it, the technicalities of translation, one of the features of a Parthenos is a virgin. It is translated virgin because even Mary herself proclaims herself to not know a man. Verse 27 says the angel Gabriel was sent to the virgin. She was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph from the house of David. So that makes the relationship within the Messianic line. We'll get that later on in Luke chapter 3. And her name was Mary, yes.
The word for did not know, Gnos.
Yes.
Is that?
Present tense. I do not know a man.
Okay. But is that the same word we use for knowledge? Like
yes.
Gnos?
Yes.
Translate into the whole physical realm.
Okay. For a man and a woman to know each other is the physical intimacy. That's the Greek word. For instance, even in when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, when he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's not just having knowledge of you, it's the intimacy of being one with you. The spiritual union between a human being and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is exemplified and is the same as husband and wife when they are physically intimate. They know each other. Yes. So gnosko is an intimate knowledge of someone. Okay? Verses 28 to 38 is the discourse between the angel and Mary. Verse 28, the angel, when he entered in, he said to her, greetings, one who has been highly favored or graced. So she was chosen by this word itself and its use of perfect tense participle. Her whole life was designed just like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was chosen by God for God to reveal God's Son in him from the time he was born, even though he didn't come to know the Lord or wasn't saved till his early 30s. But you know our discussion about our children that we just had earlier? Here's Paul out having Christians put to death until he had an encounter with Christ. And Paul considered 30-some-odd years of his life as not wasted, but as a time of humbling. All those years of fighting against God worked for his salvation, not against it. So when somebody is passive, that's when you have to worry. When they're apathetic about the things of the Lord, nothing bothers them. But when they're angry and in a rage, you know they're fighting against God. The angel comes to Mary, says, you have been favored. Been her whole life up to this present time, and now it is being revealed. The Lord is with you, you having been blessed among women, not above women. The text literally says among women, and with the dative shows among. She is not blessed above women. And we will see in her discourse in the next couple of weeks, she even confesses her need of a Savior. So the virgin is not a saint in the sense that she is elevated above women. Verse 29, when she saw the angel, she was troubled, and she was actually considering within her heart what this greeting was. What did it mean? She didn't understand it. The angel said to her four things in verses 30 and 31. First of all, he said, "Fear not, you have found favor with God." And again, it's the word grace. So he's repeating himself and telling her not to fear because you found grace with God. This is all according to God's grace. Secondly, verse 31, you will conceive in your womb. Thirdly, you'll give birth to a son. Fourthly, you will call his name John. So, excuse me, Jesus. Mom, am I glad you're here. Struck down. His name will be Jesus. The word Jesus in Greek is a combination of two Hebrew words, Yashah for salvation and Yah for God. Jesus. Jehovah or Yahweh is salvation is what his name means. So his name is going to be Jesus. Verses 32 through 33, five things about this Jesus. Number one, verse 32, he will be great. Secondly, in verse 32, he will be called Son of the Highest. And again, the word Son is huios, not the word technon in all of these phrases, showing a place in a position. He was not born as Son of the Highest. He was in a place of authority as Son of the Highest. Thirdly, verse 32, the Lord is going to give him, the Lord God is going to give him the throne of David his father in fulfillment as being Messiah through the line of Jesse. Verse 33, the fourth thing, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Jacob, the house of Jacob being Israel. And fifthly, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The five things about this Jesus. Mary's response in verse 34. She says, "How will this be?" Now this is completely different than Zacharias' response. Zacharias said, "According to what shall I know this?" In other words, prove to me, because I'm advanced and my wife is advanced in her days and we have, humanly it's impossible what you have said. She says, "How will this be since I do not know a man?" She's asking, "How are you going to do it?" Not, "How can this be in that it's impossible because I'm a virgin?" So her response is very different than Zacharias's. She's asking how it's going to take place. He's asking for proof. Verses 35 and 36, three things about the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 35, he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you." Without dwelling on it, those are technical terms for intercourse. She's actually going to conceive by the Holy Spirit. The third thing in verse 36 is that he makes the announcement that this is now the sixth month with Elizabeth, who also has conceived. You know, the barren one, your cousin, your relative, she also has conceived. Three things the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit. Two things about Mary, that she also is going to conceive by the Holy Spirit, and one about Elizabeth, that the barren one also has had the work of God's Spirit in her life to bring about conception. Verses 37 and 38. Verse 37, the angelic announcement. The reason why she is going to conceive and Elizabeth has conceived is because every word of God is not without possibility from God. The word possibility or the word ability is the word capacity. Every word of God is not without ability from God. That is to say, God has the ability to fulfill all of His word. There's no such thing as God not having the ability. to do what His Word says. And I emphasize that to you because if in the English text where it says nothing is impossible with God, if it's a thing, it would be the Greek word pragma for issue or thing. It is the word chrema, which is the general Greek word for conversation. Every word of God is not without possibility from God. Now notice what she says. She uses the same word chrema in verse 38. She says, Mary's response was, "Behold the servant of the Lord, doulos." She's pointing to herself. It's the feminine form, doule. She is pointing to herself and she's saying, "Behold the servant of the Lord." Her response is, "May it be to me according to your what? Chrema." Boy, there's a servant. Verse 37, the angel says, "Every word God has the ability to do." She says, "May it be to me according to your word." Here's the servant of God. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let God's word be fulfilled. But her response, different than Zacharias, that doesn't mean she doesn't have struggles throughout her life, earthly pilgrimage and walking with the Lord. She's physically giving birth to this boy who is the Messiah, the Son of the Highest, who is Yahweh is salvation. She's physically gave birth to this child, yet he's God's Son. And so she's constantly in turmoil throughout her entire human life. And she even confesses, as we'll see in the next couple of weeks, she confesses her need of a Savior. She's a sinner also. So she has her struggle. Not like Zacharias, where Zacharias says, "It's humanly impossible. You're going to have to prove to me that this is the Word of God." God's perfectly happy to oblige. Sure, you'll be mute and unable to speak until God fulfills His Word. And it will be fulfilled. Now Mary is saying, "How is God going to do this since I don't know a man?" He says, "The Holy Spirit. You're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy One to be born out from you, it will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And He will be holy. Because God is able with every word that comes out from Him. He has the capacity to do it." Her response, I love this. I think about it all the time. What is my response to God's Word? "Behold, the servant of the Lord." That's all you can do. And your heart attitude, "May it be to me according to your word." God must do it. But we have a response. Either God is going to deal with us harshly to get us to line up with His word, or we're going to submit to His word. The only two choices we have. What a beautiful ministry and a beautiful response. Verse 37 is the key. You have to understand the literal translation of that verse to line up verse 38. The English texts just don't make it. They translate chrema in 37 as thing, and they translate chrema in 38 as word. It's both word in the same place. It is true that nothing is impossible with God. But more specifically, every word is not without ability from God. So she says, "Let it be to me according to your word."
Doesn't it also fall short in English in that, you know, word logos, rhema, it's not as specific enough in that it could be written or spoken word.
Right, any word. It's the general Greek word for conversation, written or spoken, where logos is the substance of the word spoken. In other words, rhema would be more like our word speech. The logos would be the actual content of the speech. See? So basically, he is saying every expression of God, written, spoken, whatever, God is able to do. And she is saying, every word that proceeds out from God, may it be to me. Next week, we'll get into the conversation now. Mary has had the announcement that Elizabeth also will conceive, or has conceived. Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. Mary will now be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the two of them will come together, and God will have a ministry between the two of them, and we'll study that dialogue, Lord willing, next Sunday. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you that your Spirit carries out the truth of your word. Lord, create in us a heart, a servant's heart, that we too would say, may it be to me according to your word. All we can do is submit. It is you who fulfills your word in us, and we desire that from the bottom of our hearts. Just create us that servant's heart to want to be submissive, to want your will and your word fulfilled in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.